Okay. Should we take diets literally? And I can think immediately off the top of my head reasons to and reasons not to. So I'll unpack that for a second. But first of all, good morning or good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're finding this. And I hope you're good and I hope you're happy. And if not, then I hope we can help you. And if we can't help you, then I hope maybe some of these recordings can help you. And if these can't help you, then maybe somebody else can help you. And I just hope you find that. But so I just wanted to talk about taking diet literally, and maybe a little bit of the conditions around when it would be a good or bad idea to do so. So I was just reading about the blood type diet, which is actually something that we sort of practice at home. Jenny, my partner, Dr. Goda, she's been studying the blood type diet. She actually trained underneath the gentleman who wrote the book and kind of coined that fad, if you will, of the blood type diet. And fad's a little bit of a bad word, but it was very trendy and fashionable of an idea. And I, there's still a lot of benefit that can be had from it, whether or not it's a fad or not. It doesn't really matter. That's not the point. The point is that it was kind of a sensational idea. People got super excited by it. And it got a little bit, I guess you could say, trendy. But anyway, so the idea of that diet is that you eat, there are certain foods that are going to agree with you or not agree with you based on your blood type. And it's not law. It's not that every single, you know, for every person who's an O blood type needs to have meat, otherwise they won't be healthy, or has to avoid beans and rice, otherwise they won't be healthy. It's not saying that. What it's saying is that certain foods may have certain proclivities to react certain ways based on your blood type. And the lists and the frameworks generated and put forth by that argument by Dr. D'Adamo in his book and by that system. So some people traveling around next to me. The frameworks put together in that system are meant to be a guidepost for you in figuring out what foods you need to eat. So one of the criticisms that I heard of it, and I'm not married to the diet, and even if I was married to diet, I'm sure it would be flawed and I would have some things to say about it. But no, again, so no diet's perfect, right? We've talked about that before. But the frameworks put forward and are meant to be a guide to help you find the foods that work well for you or don't work well for you. And I've noticed in some of my research around that most people just jump into that diet, for example, on their own without necessarily the help of a trained professional or without getting blood work or advanced monitoring done to see, is this the best option? So if you were to go online and print out a blood type diet, would it be something that one should take literally? Maybe is the answer in my mind. And from my experience, I learn more about diet changes when I stick almost like religiously exactly to the diet, what the diet is saying. So why is that? What do I mean by that? Gosh, man, sorry. I just, on the road right now, I stepped in between one of the main roads and a building, and it's like standing in a tunnel. It's the building is reflecting all the sound. So hang on a second as we turn the corner here. Sorry about that. So if you're going to use a diet, for example, we're talking about the blood type diet, to change, and you want to get the clearest information about what foods are going to work for you and what foods are not going to work for you, then it can be a good idea to be super exacting and say, I'm only sticking to this, but with the caveat that there's an out date on that, right? What's the out on that? How long are you going to stick religiously to this diet? And I'll probably, might have to record this again at some point. This road is super busy this morning. I'm walking to the beach. And I had to get this out of my head before I lost it. You know how that goes, right? have a thought, have a good idea, and then if you don't get it out right away, it's gone forever. So I thought this would be helpful, so I wanted to get this out now. See, isn't that the nature of a good idea? You have an idea, you want to share it, and then there's dump trucks going by and all this stuff in the way, but we're persistent, so we're going to get it out. So, why should... So, okay, so we're talking about sticking super, super strictly to a diet or being a little bit more lenient with it. I think in the beginning, for the first week to 3 or 4 weeks, you know, maybe up to the first month, for some people, maybe even 2 months, it's important to stick very, very rigidly to the diet that you are experimenting with. So, for example, if you're somebody who's experimenting with ketogenic diet, well, you have to stick like ridiculously tight to that diet, otherwise it doesn't work. Otherwise your body doesn't go into a state of ketosis. So that diet has built into it that you have to be exact on it, and it'll take 3, 4, 5 days, sometimes a week or more, to get into and stay in the state of ketosis. So that's not really a diet that you can kind of dabble on. And I think it's a really great example of, you know, kind of the body needs time to change. So to be, you know, if you were to be on an Atkins diet or a high fat diet or a paleo diet or a keto diet for just a couple of days a week, it's probably a little bit useless. So we've talked about connecting the B, right? And I'll say again what that means. So connecting the B is where you look at a habit that you want to form, whatever habit that is. If it's exercising more or going to the, you know, to reading or learning a language or training martial art or trying on a new diet, you want to... What's called connecting the B is where, so Jenny had told me this one day, that when she was learning how to write a lowercase b in English, what do they call that, script, penmanship, whatever, in her penmanship class, in her script class, they had to connect the little shelf on the end of the B to the body of the B so that students would know to differentiate the B from the L when they were writing it with that little... the little loopty shelf thing. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google a picture of a lowercase b and you'll see that little shelf. It looks like a hand offering something on the left-hand side. So what the teacher would say is to connect that shelf to the body of the b. Now obviously you don't write like that, but she was training people to draw a correct B by having them overemphasize the change. So by overemphasizing the change in diet, you're connecting the B, right? You're showing your body, this is going to be the new pattern that we're training. By, if you're learning, you know, a certain kind of martial art form, they may show you these very, very exaggerated stances and movements and stuff like that. And it's not meant to be the thing that you do all the time or the only move that you make, but it's meant to be an exaggerated move so that when rubber meets the road, you've built in an unconscious signal, right? If you're in a fight or if you're just moving in your world, or maybe you slip, like I shared a story of my dad slipping and falling, but when he had studied judo as a kid, so he had programmed into his unconscious or subconscious the ability to break fall, to fall in a certain way where he wouldn't get hurt. So he did that unconsciously because he had connected the B on that. He had learned so specifically that particular technique that it was innate to him. So this is so boring. I can't imagine you're even still listening to this. So you take your diet and you connect the B on it. So you stay super strict with that diet for a week, 2 weeks, and mark it on the calendar. I'm going to stay super strict And this is what I do. You can do as you like, but this is what I do. I mark it on the calendar. I say, okay, for 10 days, for 2 weeks, for a month, I'm going to stick specifically to this diet. And we have the luxury of being able to test our blood for certain markers and to have other metrics that we use to see whether or not a diet is actually working or is taking us in the direction that we want to go. So that's super fun. That's cool. We get the feedback on that. And I definitely recommend you getting regular blood work when you make changes like that too. It's super fun to see on these markers what changes. And then, you know, things like, what do they call the blood fat? Cholesterol. Things like cholesterol become less daunting if you have high cholesterol. Like, oh my God, what do I do for high cholesterol? You're like, I just eat vegetables for 2 weeks and I'm good, right? So that happened to me, so that was super cool. So, are we going to follow diets super strict? I think, from my experience, that starting that way up front is a good idea. And it's all situation dependent. If you are very, very overweight, some of the people that I know in my life who have been very overweight, they do better from being on a diet for a long period of time, very, very strictly, because how did they get to where they were? They weren't on a diet very, very strictly for a long period of time. So that, in a way, can fix the underlying issues, the underlying problem that led them to gain all this weight. Of course, there's genetics. Of course, there's other situations too. But also, there's a lack of discipline in eating the wrong foods. So, do we want to stay super strict? Again, that's the question. Staying super strict is going to allow us to find out, what does this diet do? What does it feel like? If you do it for, and what are the results going to be? Am I going to lose weight? Am I going to see a change in blood markers? Right, we also want to know, what metrics are we using? Am I going to feel subjectively better? Am I going to have more energy? Right, if I usually get tired at 3 or 4 o'clock every day, is changing my diet going to keep me from that dip? Am I going to be more tired? Am I going to get tired at noon? Or am I going to have more energy? I found, for example, I used to get super tired at lunchtime, after lunch, every single day, no matter what I ate, no matter when I ate. But I was able to make some changes that made that less the case, which was mostly around changing which foods I ate and how often I ate them for. So, sorry, not how, well, yeah, the frequency with which I ate them, what foods they were, and the times, the interval was super important for me. How often am I eating? What foods am I eating? What time am I eating those foods? And it's, if I have to boil it down to one thing, it's about the process more than it is about the specific diet and the specific foods. So, I'm going to say that again. A diet is a means to the process. It's a means to finding the foods that you should be eating all the time. It's not the answer, but it's a proposition. So if you look at these super, super hyper-specific diets, it's a question. You're posing the question to your body, is this right for me? And then you have to ask the question clearly enough and long enough for your body to give you a clear response. And you have to be willing to accept that the answer can change over time, right? And this is the royal you, not just you, but I think from my experience, from my personal dieting, that has always yielded the highest results for me, the best results for me, which is trying something new, trying it long enough to see a change, and determining, is this the kind of change that I want? Is this taking me where I want to go? Is this helping me get the desired result? And then I decide, do I want to hold on to that, or do I want to let that go, or do I want to modify that? So that is an opportunity for change. It's an opportunity for change in that it doesn't have to be the perfect right answer, but the fact that you're asking the question and the fact that you're willing to experiment, that is what's going to give you the best results. Right? There's no perfect diet out there. There's no perfect diet. But what you learn in the process of dieting and what you learn from trying different diets on and seeing the one that works best for you, those insights are going to be the thing that's going to put years on your life and is going to help you reverse disease. So that's kind of the bigger point that I wanted to, that's kind of the answer to the question, should we be super strict with diet? If so, for how long? I think for me, the answer has been yes. Up front, it's important to stay strict on whatever diet it is that you're trying, especially if it's as like an experiment. Like if you're trying a diet and you know that you're going to measure how does it work, what does it do for you, you know, what blood markers are changing, what's staying the same, definitely a good idea to stay super strict during that window as best as you can. And again, I think you'd be surprised by the results that you get. I've found personally that through my own experimentation that beer and pizza and lots of red meat doesn't always make me feel the best, so I don't eat it. And it's not an option. It's not a question. I used to love burgers, used to love beer, used to love pizza, but I've probably heard me say it a bunch of times, but it's just a non-issue for me. It's not as hard to say no to those things. It's really not. It's like, do you want to feel like garbage? Hot, sweaty, sick, exhausted, nauseous garbage? Or do you just want to like eat the food that makes you feel okay? Right? It becomes very, very simple. And if you're like, you know what, I haven't had pizza in a year or 6 months or however long is long enough for you to say, to justify eating that pizza, drinking that beer, good for you. But if you're trying to get a particular result, I think it's best at first, in my personal experience, to say, to be strict on it and to get the insight that you need from it. And then you can always break your fast with a nice big steak or whatever it is, or candy or soda or whatever. And then, you know, kind of build the new diet after that. Okay, so diet is more of a means to an end than it is an absolute answer. I hope that was not too boring. That's like my biggest fear, I think, with these things, is boring you into submission. But from my personal experience and from my clinical experience, those are the results that I'm seeing work the best. So I hope that is fun and interesting to you. Thank you so much for your attention and your time. And it's a beautiful day on Kailua Beach. I hope you can go to a beach near you. And maybe we all remember to pick up one piece of trash while we're at it. So, have a good one. Talk soon. Thank you.